Hi everyone, thanks again for joining us today for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Hidden Gems in the Western Hemisphere webinar. My name is Peter Rauchy and I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. I'm based at IIE's New York City office. And today I'm delighted to present Hidden Gems in the Western Hemisphere. So these are awards in the region of the Western Hemisphere, which spans everything from Canada to Chile and everything in between in the Western Hemisphere. These are awards that are very special opportunities that you may not have considered or may not have thought about applying to, but for the right project and for the right profile, these could be wonderful opportunities for you to engage with the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. So let's talk a little bit about the Fulbright program to give us some grounding. The Fulbright program was established in 1946 really to expand and strengthen the relationships between people of the United States and the rest of the world. It started sort of the brainchild of then junior Senator J. William Fulbright from Arkansas, who really wanted to increase mutual understanding and connections between the U.S. and the rest of the world. And that's a really, really interesting aspect of the Fulbright program, and it resonates with what makes a strong application today. So really understanding that we want to support excellent teaching and research projects in countries throughout the world, but with this sense that the work that you do is really ambassadorial. So it's that person-to-person diplomacy. It's all about those beneficial mutual understanding outcomes that you get out of the Fulbright program. So that's really the grounding of the Fulbright program, and that's really what helps make a successful application. So keeping that in mind as you're crafting your application is going to be really helpful for you to consider. Now, the Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, specifically the Educational and Cultural Affairs Division, administered by IIE, the Institute of International Education, our Council for the International Exchange of Scholars. I want to talk a little bit about some context for the Fulbright program. We've had about 380,000 different awards granted since the inception of the program in 1946. We send about 800 U.S. scholars abroad annually, and throughout the umbrella of Fulbright programs, we work with about 160 different participating countries. Specifically to the Fulbright Scholar Program, the U.S. Scholar Program, we work with about 130 different countries. But again, there are other programs under the umbrella of Fulbright that are not just the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. As a Fulbrighter, you are in great company. Our alumni include heads of state, Nobel laureates, Pulitzer Prize recipients, MacArthur Fellows, and the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We have about 470 different awards in our catalog of awards, and each award has its own parameters and profile, but I do want to mention some baseline eligibility that will sort of work across all awards in general. You'll want to dig into the actual awards when you want to see specific considerations for that award, and I'll actually show you how to find that information using our catalog of awards. But in general, eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program includes U.S. citizenship. So you must be a U.S. citizen for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. If you're not a U.S. citizen, we actually have the Fulbright Visiting Scholar Program, which brings international scholars to the United States. But for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which is designed to send Americans to other countries, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. As I mentioned, our awards have different parameters, and some awards will require a doctoral degree or other terminal degree. Many of them do not, though, and they'll be open to folks with master's degrees and professional or academic experience. Again, I will demonstrate our catalog of awards to show you where you can find information specific to each award. Many of our awards are open to professionals and artists outside of academia, so you'll definitely want to look for awards that are open to that if you fall into that category. And then if your award features teaching, there may be some considerations around experience with teaching, numbers of years of teaching, or teaching in a particular discipline. So you'll want to pay attention to those parameters as well. I do want to bring up new policies on the Fulbright Scholar Program. There are no longer any limits to the number of Fulbright Scholar Awards you can receive in your lifetime, but you do have to wait 2 years from the end of one grant to apply for another grant. So because we have 470 different awards and they all have different parameters and considerations, it's really, really important to sort of understand how you fit into the award. You can only apply to one award per application cycle, so you really want to select the right award for you. When you start your search, you want to look at things like, what country are you interested in going to? What discipline are you interested in going to? Or a combination of the two. We have really, really robust search functions where you can really cast a huge wide net and then narrow it down. And again, I'll demonstrate our catalog of awards a little bit later in the presentation. But you really want to, find the award that resonates with your profile, but also with the project that you hope to undertake. Our general search function here, you can search by region or country or discipline, but we have advanced search functions where you can search by a wide variety of criteria. One of the things, though, that makes sense in selecting the right award is thinking about the relevance of the project to the country. Why will the host country, why will your host institution benefit from the work that you're proposing to do? So that's really important. We impact is so important for the Fulbright program, and thinking through how your work will impact the host institution, the host country, your home institution in the U.S., the U.S. in general, these are good questions to ask yourself, and that can shape how you approach crafting your application. So let's dive into the Western Hemisphere. So the Western Hemisphere is a large region ranging from Canada to Chile, about 28 different countries. We have 55 different award offerings in the region with about 195 different grants available. And I want to take a little bit of time to explain the sort of vocabulary items. When we refer to an award, we mean an opportunity, and grants are instances of the opportunity. So each award can have one grant or more than one grant. So we'll see throughout this presentation, some of our awards will have one grant available, but you'll get an award like the Brazil All Disciplines Award, which has 30 grants available, meaning that 30 scholars can be funded under that one opportunity. So that accounts for, the wide variety of opportunities throughout the Western Hemisphere. So let's start from the north and work our way down and dig into the hidden gems of the Western Hemisphere. So the first thing I want to talk about are Canada Research Chairs. Starting in the north, we have Canada. So Canada Research Chairs are really, really unique awards for our catalogs. They're themed awards with pre-identified hosts. There are multiple potential hosts for each award, and essentially you're able to rank hosts in your proposal if you're interested in being considered for working with more than one of them. There are a wide variety of research chairs in Canada, but I want to focus on two of them on this slide. The first are research chairs in education, science, and technology. This is a four-month grant where you're able to either conduct research or conduct a project that combines teaching and research. The potential host institutions for this award include McGill University, the University of Alberta, the University of Calgary, and the University of Manitoba. Specializations for this award include things like STEM education, cognitive neuroscience, engineering education, and curriculum studies. And if you find that award in our catalog, you can actually dig into the which institutions focus on which specializations. The Canada Research Chair Awards, again, they're very interesting awards because they allow you to identify more than one potential host and rank them. So if you're interested in McGill and the University of Alberta and Manitoba, you're able to sort of rank them. You don't need a letter of invitation to apply to the Research Chair Awards unless it's otherwise specified. So these are great ways to sort of engage with Canadian institutions. Another research chair award that's available in Canada is the Environmental Sciences Research Chair. Again, this is a four-month grant. It features projects that either focus on just research or a combination of teaching and research. And the potential host institutions for this include Lakehead University, the University of Lethbridge, the University of Ottawa, and the University of Regina. Specializations for this award include things like clean energy, water quality, sustainability sciences, and many, many more that relate to environmental sciences. Again, similar to the previous research chair that we just discussed, there you don't need a letter of invitation, and you're able to sort of rank the potential host institutions in your proposal if you're interested in working with more than one of them. I want to move on to another award in Canada. This is a new award for this year. Carleton University has Distinguished Research Chair Awards available. These are 9-month opportunities, and this is a teaching research award. The host institution is Carleton University, and opportunities include projects that focus on the arts and social sciences, entrepreneurship, environmental science, and public affairs in North America. So this is a wonderful way to engage with Carleton University in Canada in one of these four broad topics. We have an Archive Canada webinar that really unpacks all of the opportunities available to Canada. That's included on the link on the LinkedIn to this PowerPoint, but also you can search for it on our webinar archive. That's a great way to sort of do a deeper dive into what's available in Canada. But for folks that are interested in Canada, again, these Research Chair Awards are great opportunities to interface with Canadian opportunities. They're thematic awards. Generally, they don't require letters of invitation for the application. And you're really working, within a theme, but within a wide variety of specializations within any particular theme. Let's move on to Mexico. So I want to talk about the U.S. Studies Chair in Mexico. This award is kind of similar in structure to the Canada Research Chairs in that you should not seek a letter of invitation for this award. You're actually placed by COMEXIS, the Fulbright Commission in Mexico, and there are potential hosts. ITAM, the University of Veracruz, the University of Guadalajara, and the University of the Americas Puebla are the potential host institutions. And each host institution has particular specializations, particular areas of focus, but they include U.S. history, political science, U.S.-Mexico relations, and many, many more areas of focus. This is a teaching award. You would teach up to 3 undergrad or grad courses, and it's a 1-semester award. For this award, English is sufficient to teach. Any Spanish you have is helpful, but English is sufficient to teach. We have an Archive Mexico webinar that delves deeper into the what's available in Mexico, but this is really a very special award in Mexico because, again, no letter of invitation should be sought. You are looking at potential host institutions in Mexico and focusing on the host. You're crafting a proposal, but you're placed by COMEXIS, the Fulbright Commission in Mexico. So this is a great opportunity to share insight on American studies, U.S. studies with an institution in Mexico. Moving on, another award I wanted to focus on in Mexico is the Science and Technology Award. So our awards really do vary in terms of specificity. Some are very, very focused. Many are quite open-ended. When you see an award like Science and Technology, generally you'll want to dig deeper and see what exactly is focused on in this award. But for Mexico, this is really open to all STEM fields, from agriculture to zoology, biology, to all of the fields of engineering, medical sciences, chemistry, computer science, many, many more. So any science, technology, engineering, math, computer sciences, fields that fall under the sort of science and tech umbrella are welcome under this award. You can teach with this award, you can conduct research with this award, or do a combination of teaching and research. There are up to 6 grants available for this award. So again, this is a really, really excellent way for scientists to engage with institutions in Mexico. A letter of invitation for this award is preferred, but it's not required. So really, any scientist that's thinking about working in Mexico, doing a project in Mexico, anyone with a science background, including the medical sciences, public health, engineering, computer sciences, really, this is the award for you, potentially, if you're thinking about doing anything in the sciences with Mexico. It's a 3- to 9-month grant, and it's really, while it is focused on science and technology, it's pretty open-ended in terms of the different kinds of areas of focus within science and technology. Let's look at Central America. So El Salvador has an all-disciplines award, and I want to sort of do a quick contrast. You'll see very focused awards. So, for example, the Canada Research Chair Award in Environmental Sciences or the Mexico U.S. Studies Chair. But then you'll see a lot of awards in our catalog, especially throughout the Western Hemisphere, that are called all-disciplines awards. These awards tend to be very, very open-ended in terms of the potential host institutions and the potential academic disciplines of interest. Even though they're referred to as all disciplines awards, there may be some preferred disciplines depending on the particular award or the country. So let's look at what we have in El Salvador. This is a 4 to 9 month grant, and there is a flex option, meaning that you don't have to be away for the full length of the grant. You're able to segment the award into multiple short-term visits going back and forth. For El Salvador, you're able to teach, conduct research, or work on a combination of teaching and research. This award is really open to any academic discipline, but there is a preference for business administration and engineering. A letter of invitation is optional for this award, but the U.S. Embassy may be able to assist. Intermediate to advanced Spanish is required for this award. Now let's look at Guatemala. Guatemala also has an all-disciplines award. This is a 4 to 9 month grant, and similar to El Salvador, this has a flex option. You're able to teach, conduct research, or conduct a combination of teaching and research. There is a wide variety of preferred specializations for this award. The letter of invitation is required for this award, and the ability to communicate effectively in Spanish is also required for this award. You'll see throughout the Western Hemisphere that there are varying levels of language requirements. That is written into our award descriptions, but absolutely feel free to reach out to me if you have questions about, you know, what does it mean communicating effectively in Spanish in Guatemala versus intermediate Spanish in El Salvador. And so, you know, these are the kinds of nuanced questions that I'm happy to help you with if you're sort of not sure where you fall in terms of your language ability or, you know, what is a potentially appropriate host institution. These are the kinds of questions that I'm happy to help you with. Moving on to the Caribbean, let's look at Haiti. Haiti has an all-disciplines award that also features a grant that can be anywhere from 4 to 9 months, and there is a flex option. You can teach, you can conduct research, or conduct a combination of teaching and research with this award. This award really is open to all academic disciplines, but there is a preference for anthropology, archaeology, non-U.S. history, non-U.S. languages and literature, and sociology. A letter of invitation is preferred, and fluency in Creole or French is required for this award. We have a multiple disciplines award in Trinidad at COSTAT, the College of Science and Technology and Applied Arts of Trinidad and Tobago. So this is a 4 to 9 month grant with a flex option, and again, you're able to teach, conduct research, or conduct a combination of teaching and research. A letter of invitation for this award is preferred. You don't necessarily have to have one to apply, but we actually do have an established contact at COSTAT that's written into the award description. We actually have an email address for you for a contact at COSTAT, so you're able to reach out to COSTAT directly to discuss your interest and potentially procure a letter of invitation. This award is only open to applications for projects that feature the following disciplines: entrepreneurship, special education, social work, journalism, media studies, information technology, radiography, radiation therapy, and nursing. That's a misprint. Obviously, English is the language of instruction and communication in Trinidad, so there is no language requirement with this award. So you're able to do everything in English, of course, Trinidad and Tobago being an English-speaking country. Let's move on to Caribbean South America, so focusing on Guyana and Suriname. So these are countries that are on the South American continent but are frequently considered part of the West, part of the Caribbean, and I want to focus on these two countries here because these are wonderful opportunities to engage. So Guyana, this is a four-month opportunity. It's an all-disciplines award, but there really is a preference for agriculture, anthropology, biological sciences, education, environmental sciences, and mathematics. Under this award, you can teach or conduct a combination of teaching and research. A letter of invitation is required, but scholars do affiliate with the University of Guyana, so you're only able to affiliate with the University of Guyana. So that does, unlike some of the other All Disciplines Awards, this award is very focused on one particular institution, the University of Guyana. Then moving on to Suriname. Suriname is a wonderful opportunity. This is an All Disciplines Award, but there is a real focus on specializations including agriculture, anthropology, archaeology, economics, education, environmental sciences, journalism, music, and public and global health. This is a lot of our awards are open to all disciplines, and a lot of times artists, musicians will ask me, what is an award that really focuses on what I, a project in music, for example. This is a wonderful example where Suriname, while it's open to all disciplines, music is quite an area of focus for it. So if you're a musician, you're working in music or a related field, music education, for example, this might be an award that you would want to consider. This is a 4 to 9 month grant, and there is a flex option. You can teach, you can research, or conduct a combination of teaching and research. For this award, a letter of invitation is preferred, but the embassy may be able to help. Intermediate to advanced Dutch is preferred, but it's not required for this award. Let's move on to Brazil. So the first award I want to talk about in Brazil, similar to the other countries that I've been talking about, some of the other countries, Brazil has an All Disciplines Award. But the Brazil All Disciplines Award has 30 grants available. So there's one award, but up to 30 scholars can be funded under this grant. And this award is, the parameters are sort of wide open for this award. It's a wonderful opportunity to engage with institutions across Brazil. It's a 4 month grant. There is a flex option available, so you can either be away for the full 4 months all at once or do two month visits to Brazil, going back and forth between the US and Brazil. This award really is open to any academic discipline. Your project can feature teaching, research, or a combination of teaching and research. There is preference, I should say, for projects outside of Rio and Sao Paulo. The idea being that we want to spread the wealth across Brazil. Brazil is as big as the continental United States, so we don't want 30 scholars clustered in the same city. We want to spread as to the extent possible, spread the scholars throughout Brazil, and really, that thinking about the mutual understanding aspect, increasing mutual understanding, showing as much diversity of the U.S., but also seeing as much diversity of Brazil to the U.S. scholars. So again, that's where that preference for projects outside of Rio and Sao Paulo come from. So we're looking at this All Disciplines Award to Brazil, super open-ended, but now I want to talk about some other awards in Brazil that are much more focused. So let's look at the postdoctoral award in natural sciences. So this award is for recent postdocs, someone who has had their PhD conferred within the last 3 years or so. This is a 4 to 9 month award, and your project can feature either a combination of teaching and research or research only. This award is looking for specializations that include agriculture, the biological sciences, chemistry, computer science, engineering, environmental sciences, geography, geology, math, medical sciences, and physics, astronomy. So that award is really focused on sort of early career scholars, folks that have their doctoral degrees conferred within the past few years, and it's focused on the natural sciences, contrasting it with the All Disciplines Award in Brazil, which is sort of open-ended, any academic discipline. Let's look at some other very specialized awards in Brazil. So Brazil has the FACEPI Distinguished Chair in STEM Plus C. This award is co-sponsored by FACEPI, which is an organization in the state of Pernambuco in Brazil that's focused on the sciences. This award is features a four-month grant, and there is a flex option available. You can teach, you can conduct research, or do a combination. The specializations for this award include pharmacology, industrial engineering, electronic design, rapid prototyping, and computer-aided manufacturing. Ideal candidates will be expected to apply no earlier than 10 years after having obtained his or her PhD degree. For this award, a letter of invitation is required from an invitation in the Brazilian state of Pernambuco, but FACEPI can actually refer applicants to potential host institutions. We have another award in Brazil that I wanted to focus on, the Distinguished Chair in Public Policy. This award, it's a new award for this year, and you're hosted at the School of Innovation and Public Policy at the Fundação Joaquim Nabuco in Brazil. This is a four-month grant, and for this grant, you can either conduct research or a combination of teaching and research. You should not seek a letter of invitation for this award. For this award, we're looking at specializations that include economics, education, political science, public administration, social work, sociology, and really specializations in areas that establish a dialogue with public education and what's going on. Current challenges with public education are really a preference for this award. For Brazil, we also have an archive webinar for Brazil. So if you want to dive deeper into the offerings in Brazil, this is a great way. If you access that webinar on our webinar archive, that's a great way to sort of get further information in about awards to Brazil. So this has been a sort of quick run through of some hidden gems in the Western Hemisphere, awards that you may not have considered before, but that, you know, for the right profile, for the right project, these could be wonderful opportunities to engage with the Fulbright program. What I want to do now, I want to pause just for a second. Actually, you know, what I'll do is I'll bring up our catalog of awards. What I wanted to do is to show you our catalog of awards and how you can find relevant information about awards. So this is our catalog of awards, awards.cies.org. And as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, there are very, very broad search terms for the front page of our catalog. You can select region, you can select a country, or you can select a discipline. Because we're focused on the Western Hemisphere, let's search for all the opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. Let's click Search All Awards. When you open the catalog of awards and go beyond the front page, then you have a whole host of potential search criteria. So you can search by keyword, you can search by region, you can search, again, by country, you can search if there's a multi-country award available. You can search by discipline, and there's a whole host of disciplines available. You can search by activity. So does the award feature teaching, research, a combination of teaching and research? Is it a professional project, etc., and every iteration in between. You can search by grant length. So you can see if an award features a flex grant, or, you know, how long, search by awards by the award length. Under 3 months, more than 10 months, and everything in between. And again, if you want to see all the opportunities with a flex grant, you could do that. You can search by degree requirement. Does the award require a PhD or other terminal degree or not? You can also search by category. Is it a distinguished chair? Is it a postdoc award? Is it open to early career scholars, et cetera? So again, that's another way to search for opportunities. You can also search for a professional profile. Is this an award that's only open to academics, or is it open to qualified professionals outside of academia? And then this is a great search function. You can actually search by the requirement around letters of invitation. So is a letter of invitation required? Should you not seek a letter of invitation, and every iteration in between? Optional, preferred, strongly preferred, required. So these are some of the search criteria for our catalog of awards. These are the more advanced search criteria. You can also type in keywords. Be wary of keywords. They're great ways to sort of get general information, but anything you type in that comes up as a keyword search just means that the word is somewhere in the award description. So if you type in a very open word like the term grant, for example, that's going to pull up probably every single award in our catalog because somewhere is written the word grant somewhere. But if you're looking, if your project involves cancer, maybe you want to type in cancer and see what comes available. And let's actually look at that. Let's see if there's, right now I have a filter on for the Western Hemisphere, but let's see what, if there's any awards in the Western Hemisphere that focus on cancer. So we didn't find anything with the word cancer in the description for the Western Hemisphere, but that's all right. Let's say, you know, we're focused on cancer, but what does that fall into in terms of discipline? That could be public health. It could also be medical sciences. So let's search that way. And we have 25 awards in the Western Hemisphere that either feature or support projects in medical sciences and public health. Now keep in mind, one thing I should say about medical sciences is that you cannot practice medicine, you cannot touch a patient, you cannot administer care, but you can absolutely teach, you can conduct research in the medical sciences. So I do want to mention that. But so look at what has come up. We have 25 awards filtered for the Western Hemisphere that either feature or support projects in the medical sciences and public global health. And some of these awards that come up are awards that we spoke about. So we have the Guatemala Award for All Disciplines. You'll see some awards are very open-ended, like all disciplines, but they'll have particular areas of focus. Let's look at this award to Barbados Eastern Caribbean. So this is an all-disciplines award. When you click the award, four tabs open, an award details tab, award requirements, award benefits, and a country area overview. Award detail is the first tab that opens. And we can see for this award, there are approximately 2 grants available. For this award, you're able to teach, conduct research, or conduct a combination of teaching and research. This award has a 4 to 9 month grant, but there is a flex option, and if you go if you scroll down a little bit, you can see some of the parameters around the flex option for this grant. There are some preferred disciplines for this award, and we can absolutely see public and global health as one of them. And then there are some additional interests around specialization. There are some potential host institutions that are pre-identified for this award. This award covers Barbados, but also other countries in the Eastern Caribbean, so we have a potential host in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, at St. Lucia, St. Kitts Nevis, Grenada, Barbados, Dominica, Antigua, and another Barbados UE Cape Hill. Under award requirements, we have some more information. So we can see that a letter of invitation is required for this award. We can see that all teaching will be done in English. There's a preference for scholars with a PhD, but a master's degree with professional experience will also be considered. And then we have some information about the potential host institutions and what they're looking for. We even, for this award, have established contacts at the potential host institutions. So if you're interested in the University of the West Indies, we have a contact there with some contact information. In Antigua, we actually have an email address available for a potential contact there. Not every award will feature this amount of detail in terms of potential hosts, but at the very least, there's always the name of a program staff attached to each award, and in this case, it's me. Absolutely feel free to reach out to me if you have questions about this award. Under award benefits, we see the potential stipend amounts and any other funding that could be covered. One special feature of the Western Hemisphere is that there is a travel grant that you can apply for while in program. This is an opportunity for additional funding to do a short-term visit to another participating Western Hemisphere country. This is for something like a seminar or a conference. It's a short-term opportunity. On the Canada webinar, I had an alum who went to Canada who did this travel grant and went to Uruguay as part of his Fulbright experience. So this is a special feature in the Western Hemisphere, and it's a great opportunity to do a short-term visit to another participating Western Hemisphere country. And then the last tab is the country area overview. So we can see general information about the country, or in this case, the countries, and how they fit into the Fulbright program. Let's backtrack and contrast this with the Canada Research Chair. So we talked about the Research Chair in Environmental Studies. Let's look into the Policy, Law, and Governance Research Chair in Canada. So here we have general information about the award. And again, Canada Research Chairs are thematic awards, and they identify in the awards potential host institutions. So we can see there are a number of potential host institutions for this award: Balsillie School of International Affairs, McGill, the University of Ottawa, the University of Saskatchewan. And then within the award, we see some of the potential interests. So we see that McGill has a focus in critical race theory and anti-discrimination law, with specializations that include race relations, comparative race relations, equality law, anti-discrimination. The University of Ottawa has an award that focuses on science and society, so things like technology and society, innovation policy, science policy interface, energy policy, technology governance, et cetera. And then here's where the public health medical sciences piece comes in. We have at the University of Saskatchewan a focus on public management, public policy, international trade. So a focus area for this could be public health and social policy, or, you know, some of the other listed specializations, including innovation policy, environmental policy, public sector management, et cetera. Under the award requirements for this, we see that a letter of invitation should not be sought, as I've discussed about most of the Canada Research Chairs, that is the case. You don't have to have a letter of invitation, but you're encouraged to reach out to the potential host institutions. If you don't have contacts, the Fulbright Commission in Canada, info@fulbright.ca, can actually connect you with potential hosts. For this award, English is sufficient unless you're proposing a Francophone institution. McGill, while being in Montreal, is actually quite openly speaks English. So for this award, there really aren't any Francophone institutions. But if there were a Francophone institution, you would have to have French language ability commensurate with the requirements of your project. For this award, as I mentioned, for Canada Research Chairs, applicants will identify host institutions in their order of preference and on the application form. You may be considered for other Canada award opportunities as appropriate. Keeping in mind that the theme of these awards is they're very interdisciplinary, they're wonderful opportunities to engage with potential host institutions in Canada. So I want to get back to the presentation. Before, I want to spend a lot of time with your questions. I've tried to answer questions as we go along, but I want to walk through some final considerations before I open to Q&A. So Fulbright has many, many nuances, and you may not have thought about some of the nuances that may make the difference between whether you apply now or down the line. The flex option is an option that opens up the possibility to folks who maybe aren't up for sabbatical, but they may be open to shorter-term, multiple short-term visits. There are awards that are appropriate throughout the career, so everything from postdoc to distinguished chair and everything in between. There's a Global Scholar Award that allows you to go to more than one country, but specific to the Western Hemisphere, we actually have the Carlos Rico Award, which allows you to go to Canada and Mexico. You split the time in between the two countries, and then as I mentioned, you're able to in the Western Hemisphere apply for that additional funding, the travel grant. A home university affiliation is not required necessarily unless it's listed in the award description. Many of our awards are open to independent scholars and scholars emeritus and professionals outside of academia. So the application component, I won't spend too much time on this, but I do want to mention that, you know, for the most part, the application isn't anything you haven't seen before, and our resources break down every aspect of the application. And when we will archive this webinar, and when I when we do that, I'll actually message everyone that's on this webinar, everyone that's registered for this webinar, I'll actually message you with some digital resources that may assist you with your application. But again, there's an application form, there's a project statement that is really laying out, you know, what you hope to do, how you hope to accomplish it, and what are the impacts and what's the outcome of your project. The curriculum vitae, which is generally anywhere 6 pages, but if you're applying for a distinguished chair, it can go up to 8 pages. If you're applying for teaching, we'll want 2 to 3 syllabi, up to 10 pages. They can be a combination of classes you have taught or classes that you hope to teach or whatever really that you feel puts your project in the best light. If you're applying for an award that features research, we'll want a bibliography. You can really think of that as a literature review where we want to see your vision for what is the most relevant research to the topic. And then if you're applying for teaching and research, we'll want both the syllabi and the bibliography. We'll want 3 letters of reference, referees, and we have guidance around who's an appropriate reference provider. We'll want, depending on the award, some additional components, which could include a letter of invitation. But as we saw, many of our awards, especially the awards that I highlighted today, many of them don't require a letter of invitation, all the way up to, in the case with Canada, those awards where and Mexico, where you actually should not seek a letter of invitation. So that'll vary, again, depending on the award. In terms of a language proficiency report, some awards do require that. Generally, there's a self-evaluation where you evaluate yourself. If you're a native speaker of that language, that's all you have to do. If you're not a native speaker, you'll have to register an evaluator, generally a language professor or the head of a language department, really anyone that's qualified to teach that language to non-native speakers of that language to evaluate your language skills, and that's part of your application. And then if you're applying in a field that would generally have a supplemental material like the arts, architecture, journalism, creative writing, you know, we'd expect that and you'd upload that into your application. Your project statement, I do want to spend a little bit of time on this because this is sort of the crux of your application. This is really your way to show us your vision of, you know, what you hope to do, how you hope to do it, and what the impact is going to be. So you really want to give us insight into those questions. Our review process, the first stage of review is a peer review process where your project is reviewed by a discipline-focused committee, so the discipline of your project, but then also a committee that's focused on the country or the region of your project. So you really have to write these 3 to 5 pages for different audiences. You don't want to go so far as where you would lose a generalist with sort of discipline-specific language, but you also want to, you know, have a quality project in your field. I always recommend getting feedback from your own colleagues, both folks in your discipline, but also folks outside of your discipline, to really give you some insight and feedback in your proposal that actually replicates, to some extent, our peer review process, and that can be a really invaluable way to get some insight. So we've talked about award requirements, and as we saw, some awards require a letter of invitation, others don't. We also saw that award to Barbados and Eastern Caribbean, where there were potential host institutions identified and, you know, contacts at some of these institutions. So you'll find a wide variety of information, depending on the award. But in general, letters of invitation, when they're required, they're essentially non-binding expressions of interest from your proposed host. They should generally come from the person who you will be collaborating with, unless otherwise specified. So in Argentina, you'll find the awards in Argentina, they generally will have to come from a high-level administrator, either the head of the department or a provost or someone of that nature, but that's specific to Argentina. So if there are considerations about the letter of invitation specific to that award, they'll be written into the award. For example, Brazil, you don't necessarily have to do a language proficiency report with Brazil, but in the letter of invitation for awards that require letters of invitation, and require a level of Portuguese or not, depending on the award, you'll want to have your potential host write into the letter of invitation that you have sufficient language skills to conduct the activity. So any considerations around letters of invitation will be written into the award description, and if you're sort of confused by any nuances, absolutely 100% reach out to us. This slide, again, really focuses on submitting a competitive application. We've really been talking about that, though, throughout this whole application, throughout this whole presentation. Finding the right fit for you, finding the right fit for your project, but also understanding that that goal of mutual understanding, which is so much part of the Fulbright DNA, really addressing, you know, the diplomatic piece, the person-to-person diplomacy, the ambassadorial aspect of the work that you hope to do, and really giving us a sense of what you expect the outcomes to be. What is the impact? Are you building new connections? Are you strengthening connections that have already existed? You know, what is your vision for that? So again, you've got a lot to do in those five pages, but this is definitely something that you want to address. A quick review of our review process. Our deadline is August 1st. Our staff conducts technical reviews for completeness. In some cases, we're actually able to reach out to applicants who are missing documents or we need further clarification during the technical screening. The most important thing is to submit your application by the deadline, and there may be the opportunity for our team to reach out to you if, you know, we're not sure about something or if you're missing a document or something along those lines. That may not be possible, but in the past that actually has been possible. So you do want to make sure that you submit by August 1st. There is a little tech screening period, again, where we may reach out to you if we need further clarification. But after the tech screening, we go into the peer review process where a discipline-oriented committee and then a regional-focused or country-focused committee will review your applications. We let you know one way or the other if you've made it through peer review, generally in November and January. If you do make it through peer review, then go to the countries, and then the final decision is made by the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. Grantees will be notified of final approvals anywhere between February and May of the year after the application deadline. Again, with 130 plus different countries, there isn't one deadline for each country, so there is a range of, you know, when you might find out. I won't belabor this slide because, again, we sort of covered the sense that you're not alone when you're applying. So there are tons and tons of resources available on our website. Our contact information is attached to awards. Absolutely feel free to reach out to us if you have questions. But there are also so many digital resources available, including sample project statements. Our scholar directory is a wonderful resource. You can search the directory by the country that you're thinking about going to, by your discipline, by your home institution in the United States to see if any of your colleagues have received Fulbright grants. So that, you know, it's a wonderful wide set of resources that we have available to you. And again, when we archive this webinar, I'll email everyone with the link to the recording of the webinar, but also with these digital resources. We have a very robust set of webinars that have been archived. Some are focused on particular countries or regions. Some are focused on specific disciplines or other considerations. The Scholar blog is a great way for you to get inspiration and seeing what the more qualitative side to what people have done on their Fulbright grants. And then lastly, but not least, my Fulbright, CIEF2.org, is a great way to indicate your interest to us if you have a focus on a particular country or a particular discipline or a combination therein. You're able to indicate that and then receive segmented messaging from us when there are program updates. So I want to encourage you to stay in touch with us. I'm going to try to answer all the questions that have come through, and we've been trying to answer them as we go along. But I want to encourage you to stay in touch with us. CIEF2.org is a great way to, that's my Fulbright, that's what I just described. That's a way to sort of indicate your interests and receive segmented messaging from us. Absolutely contact me at westham@iie.org if you have questions about awards. Our website is a wonderful resource as well, of course. We have a referral program where you're able to refer your colleagues that you think might be interested in a Fulbright grant. And then, of course, we're across all platforms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So now I want to crack into the questions that have come in, and I want to encourage you to continue to chat in questions. I'm on the Fulbright Specialist roster. Can I apply for the Fulbright Scholar this summer? That's a great question. There is a two-year waiting period between Scholar Grant and Scholar Grant. That's not impacted by the Specialist program. The Specialist program is a separate program from the Fulbright U.S. Scholar program, so that's not impacted. The two-year waiting period is between Scholar Grant and Scholar Grant. It doesn't connect to the Specialist roster. Someone asked for the code for the Carleton Chair Award in Canada. Absolutely. That award, the Distinguished Chair, Research Chair at Carleton University is 9423-CA. Okay. I'm just scrolling through questions that we have. Could I apply to more than one Fulbright Award in a given cycle? The answer is, unfortunately, no. You do have to pick one award and really focus on that award. There's a small part of our application where you are able to indicate if you're interested in other countries or other awards, but you really, really shouldn't write an application that can be read one way or the other. You really want to focus on it. Pick an award and really focus on that award. Will we have access to slides at the end of the webinar? Again, we will archive this webinar, which I'll send out the recording, and also you'll get the PowerPoint deck when we archive the webinar. Great question about Brazil. Is Portuguese a requisite for the All Disciplines Award in Brazil? So that is, Brazil is open to folks of all levels of Portuguese, as long as your host institution is fine with it. So if you have limited Portuguese and your host institution in Brazil is okay with that, that's okay. They do need to write that in the letter of invitation. Obviously, any Portuguese that you have will be helpful, but for the All Disciplines Award, it's really about the connection you have with the host institution in Brazil. So again, they will need to write that into the letter of invitation. Another question about Brazil, preference for projects outside of Sao Paulo and Rio, is that the city or the state of Sao Paulo? The preference, I'm actually reading the award description, projects are encouraged in all parts of Brazil, not only in large cities. Priority will be given to applicants who locate their project outside of the urban areas of Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. We have more questions about Brazil Portuguese requirements. This is going to vary by award. Some of the more specialized awards in Brazil actually don't require any Portuguese. But again, for the All Disciplines Award in Brazil, it's really about your connection with the host institution, if they're okay with your level of Portuguese. As an academic, do you have to currently be in a position for academic-only awards? Not necessarily. You'll want to look through the award description and see if there's any considerations around the profile that is being sought for the award. But many of our awards are open to folks who are independent scholars or scholars emeritus, unless it's otherwise specified. That's generally okay not to have a home institution in the United States, but again, you'll find in the award description information around the profile of the award, and it really will vary across the award. If a letter is required, does it need to be done by the August 1st deadline? That's a great question. The answer is yes. Everything should be in by the August 1st deadline. There may be the possibility of a slight grace period. I wouldn't sort of lead with that. I would try to get everything in by August 1st, but in the past it has been possible to send us, application components, slightly after the deadline. I would really, though, do whatever you could to get the letter of invitation by August 1st. That being said, if you have everything in place and it's, you know, July 31st, you know, submit the application. It may be possible for you to send us, you know, additional components after the fact. We really can't do anything, though, unless you submit, you know, the application by August 1st. So, again, take that with a grain of salt. If you have questions about that or any particular awards, definitely feel free to reach out to me directly. But, you know, there may be some grace period around that. Generally, though, you should try to shoot to have everything in by August 1st. I see certain countries have one award each. Does that mean only one person can go on that award? So you'll want to actually dig into the award description and see. I just want to sort of state again that there's a difference between award and grant. Award is an opportunity. Grant is the instance of the opportunity. So for example, this question was specific to El Salvador. Under the All Disciplines Award to El Salvador, there are approximately two grants available. So approximately two folks can be funded for this award. Grants are the number of instances of the award. What you see, though, with Brazil, there are 30 grants available, meaning that 30 people under the All Disciplines Award to Brazil can be funded. For letters of support, letters of recommendation, is it recommended to get letters from a variety of organizations for Canada? Example, is it preferred from the chair I'm working with, the VP of research? We have some general guidelines around letters of recommendation and who's appropriate, but the sort of common thread among all of that is who is the best advocate for you? Who's in a position to advocate for you, to state that you're a great fit for this award, that you have a great project? You know, these are the kind of questions that they'll want to answer in their letter of invitation. Generally, if you do have a home affiliation in the United States, it's a good idea to have someone from your home affiliation write one of the letters of recommendation. If you are applying for an award with a project that includes teaching in any form, you'll want to have one of your three letters of recommendation be from someone who can speak to your capacity as an instructor from a supervisory role, so the head of your department, for example, or someone of that nature could be an appropriate source. You cannot have a letter of invitation from the same person that is writing your letter of recommendation. But you may want to have someone else from the host institution overseas write one of the letters. That could be a good idea, depending on, you know, your connection and if they can vouch for you. Question about will I be notified if I'm unsuccessful? You will be notified. Either way, you'll be notified. But it can take some time. Again, if you make it through peer review, we'll let you know if you make it through peer review. Generally, by December, give or take, after the deadline. But if you make it through peer review, it may take some time to hear back from the countries and then the Fulbright Scholarship Board. Generally, between February and May is when we would expect to hear something. But again, that's going to vary widely by country. That's why we get such a wide. That's why we give such a wide range. Another question, can we apply for multiple opportunities in the same year? You're not able to do that. Is there a country in Central America that has a greater need than the others? They all have great needs. So it's really about finding the best fit for your project, where the work will be relevant, where your profile fits into the award and understanding the award parameter. My university is not granting sabbaticals anymore. Do you know how to handle this at my school? I'll actually follow up with this person. I'm not going to name your school on the webinar, but I'll follow up with this person. There may be a Fulbright Scholar liaison on your campus that is able to help you navigate your own institutional considerations. The other piece is the flex grants. You know, if you're not up for sabbatical, if you can't take 9 months away, maybe you can do two-month trips over two consecutive summers. That may be something that works for you. So, but this person actually named their school specifically. I'm going to follow up with you directly. Do you have to be a professional educator with an accredited institution? Not necessarily, unless it's otherwise specified in the award. Okay, I'm a TESOL specialist at the associate professor level. I want to go to Mexico to help develop English language teacher training there. I've experienced in Mexico and I'm willing to go anywhere, but my level of Spanish is beginner. I'm interested in award. Advanced Spanish fluency is recommended. That's going to vary. That's something that I'll follow up with you directly, because the award requirements will vary. Sometimes awards can be flexible. Others are not as flexible. But there's an award to Mexico Teaching English as a Foreign Language Award. That has sort of different requirements than some of the other awards to Mexico. Most of the awards require intermediate to advanced Spanish in Mexico, but the TEFL Award, Teaching English as a Foreign Language Award, that award, I'm pulling it up, that award recommends advanced Spanish fluency. So, you know, it's recommended, it's not required, but it's helpful if you have, whatever Spanish you have is helpful. Let's put it that way. And if you're in a pool of candidates who have very advanced Spanish and you don't have that, that's not necessarily the strongest position to be in. So, but again, I'll follow up directly with the person who asked that question. How did you choose the hidden gems countries to focus on? These are very, you'll see throughout, one of the common threads throughout the awards that I focus on, these awards are either very specialized or, you know, they're hosted at specific institutions, and these may not be awards that you have considered. There's no way to really dig deep into every single award in the Western Hemisphere, but if you are interested in particular opportunities in the Western Hemisphere, I'm happy to speak with you about them. Feel free to email us at westhem@iie.org and let us know the country or the award of interest. But the sort of hidden gems, these are awards that you may not have thought about because they're a little bit different, or they have a little bit different area of focus, or they may be hosted at specific institutions. And, many of our awards are sort of open-ended where you're finding a specific institution and getting a letter of invitation. And certainly some of the awards I discussed today fall into that category, but others are very specialized and they're hosted at specific institutions that you may not have thought about these, but this is sort of what the hidden gem is. For the right project, for the right profile, these could be wonderful opportunities to engage with the program. Great question. Are there countries considered touristy that you should not apply to? I mean, obviously, you know, there are always going to be stereotypes about different countries and different regions. If we have an award to a particular country and you're interested in that award and your project fits into it and your profile fits into it, you know, absolutely consider applying to that award. And maybe, you know, going back to the mutual understanding piece of Fulbright, maybe the work that you do can actually dispel some of the, you know, quote-unquote touristy considerations around, you know, a particular country or a particular region. So, you know, if we have an opportunity available, it's open. But, you know, again, the whole DNA, the whole point of Fulbright is building understanding and moving beyond, you know, the touristy or the stereotypical insights of you know, countries and how people interact. So, that, you know, it's a good question, but I pose it back to the person who asked that question. You know, if you're interested in that particular country and you do have a sense that, oh, maybe there's a stereotype of it being touristy, you know, can the work that you do work to dispel that and really start a dialogue, at least in your home institution, that, you know, maybe there's a lot more than just tourism? So that's a great question, and I think that's a great way to think about, you know, positioning your Fulbright. So we have a question about funding for living expenses if an institution offers housing. This is going to vary greatly by the award. And so there are different considerations. So, for example, in Chile, your host institution actually has to write in the letter of invitation that they will provide $1,200 US per month to supplement your Fulbright funding. That's unique to Chile. So other countries in the Western Hemisphere, that's not a feature of the awards. The funding piece is really, really going to vary greatly by award. The parameters that we have in the award descriptions, the award benefit descriptions, will give a general sort of ballpark, but we don't actually confirm any actual grant amounts until we confer the specific awards. So, you know, keep that in mind. If you have questions about specific awards and the funding, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to speak with you about that. But again, we don't confirm actual dollar amounts until the awards are actually conferred. So we're just over the hour here, and what I want to do is I'm going to end the webinar here, but I want to thank you all for taking a tour with me throughout the Western Hemisphere and looking at some really, really unique special awards in the region. Again, I want to encourage you to stay in touch with me if you have questions. Our August 1st deadline is coming up very soon, but there is still time to apply. Feel free to reach out if you have questions or thoughts or if there are things you want more information on in the Western Hemisphere. But I want to thank you all for joining and wish you a great day. We look forward to receiving your applications. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.